Hello and welcome to the Digital Resilience Podcast. With so many aspects of our lives now involving using technology in a digital world, supporting our children and young people to be digitally resilient is fundamental. Building digital resilience in our children and young people also depends on the resilience of our families and communities. Therefore, this podcast aims to provide families, education practitioners, professionals, and governors with the latest resources, information, and guidance to enhance their digital resilience. And like always, with me today is Gwion.
Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the Digital Resilience Podcast, where we're going to be looking at online grooming. So we've all seen a lot of issues raised on the news and on social media around online grooming, but as parents and teachers, do we know all that we need to know about online grooming? So here to guide us through some more information today is Helen, Liz and Angharad from Presidio Safeguarding. They're going to talk us through the main things as parents and as teachers that we should know about online grooming.
Hi, I'm Liz and I'm the Education Manager at Presidio Safeguarding. Just a quick reminder that today's podcast will cover some very sensitive information and should not be listened to in close proximity to children. So a good place to start the podcast would be to understand what is meant by the term grooming. According to the NSPCC's definition, grooming is when someone builds a relationship, trust, and emotional connection with a child or young person so they can manipulate, exploit, and abuse them. Groomers can then use this relationship and standing to sexually abuse, exploit, or traffic the child or young person. Sexual grooming refers to grooming where the offender intends to sexually abuse their victim, and it's this type of grooming that today's podcast will focus on. Groomers can be any age and build this type of relationship with a child or young person over any period of time. Some groomers take their time to really build a connection with their victim and earn their trust, whilst others are able to do so in a much shorter time frame. Groomers may build a relationship or use existing connections with a young person's family and friends to make them seem more authoritative or trustworthy. There is often a misconception that groomers are complete strangers, and whilst this is often the case, it's also possible for children to be groomed by people they already know. Now that we know what grooming is, it's worth taking a moment to understand the prevalence of grooming in the UK. The rapid growth of social media and its number of young users has allowed direct access to children for groomers on a huge scale. This has led to a significant increase of cases of online grooming, blackmail, and extortion. In 2021, the NSPCC analysed data in the Freedom of Information responses from 42 police forces in England and Wales. They found that there were 5,441 sexual communication with a child offences recorded between April 2020 and March 2021. This is an increase of around 70% from the recorded crimes in 2017 and 2018. When comparing data provided by the same 42 police forces from 2019 and 2020, there was also an annual increase of 9%, signifying a record high in crimes. Almost half of the offences used Facebook-owned apps such as Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger as a platform to make contact with young people. Instagram was the most common site used, flagged by the police in 32% of instances where the platform was known. Snapchat was also used in over a quarter of offences. The Internet Watch Foundation, who are a non-profit child protection body who aim to find, remove, disrupt, and prevent child sexual abuse imagery online, published in 2020 that 153,383 of the reports they received were confirmed as containing child sexual abuse imagery or UK-hosted non-photographic child sexual abuse imagery. This was an increase of 16% on the previous year. Childline also reported an increase in the number of counselling sessions concerning grooming during lockdown. Given the troubling statistics around grooming in the UK, parents, carers, and those who work with young people need to be aware of the different types of grooming that can occur. Children and young people can be a victim of grooming both online, in person, or both, by someone they know or a complete stranger. Sexual grooming can be divided into two categories: contact sexual abuse and non-contact sexual abuse. Grooming which results in contact sexual abuse is when a person builds a relationship with a child or young person and persuades them to meet in person to sexually abuse them. Their relationship could begin online or offline, but the abuse occurs in person. Grooming which results in non-contact sexual abuse is when a person builds a relationship with a child or young person online without the purpose or need of meeting them in person. Instead, the offender tricks or coerces their victim into conducting sexual activity via online chat, videos or photos. Children and young people can be solely abused and exploited by groomers in this way, having never met their abuser in person. Now I'm going to pass over to Helen, who's one of the directors at Presidio, who's going to explore online grooming in more depth.
Thank you. So as Liz said, my name's Helen and I'm a director at Presidio. I'm going to help explore online grooming in a bit more depth. Children and young people can be groomed both in person or online by people they already know or complete strangers. Groomers can build a relationship with a young person in many different ways, from a romantic pursuit to an authoritative mentor. They often take time to gain trust and confidence from children and young people before they make their true intentions clear or known. By operating online, predators are provided with many more opportunities to groom children. The rise in digital technology has meant that more children are online. And as a result, gaming, social media platforms, and chat rooms are all potential opportunities for offenders to make contact with children to try and groom them. They can also create multiple online identities by using photos and images of others as a means to make those initial connections. They may impersonate a child of their victim's own age or claim a connection to a mutual friend or family member to encourage a child into chatting and sharing. Being online also means they can learn more about their target through social media profiles, the games they play, or other interests they show, and use this information to help build a relationship. Whilst the internet has allowed groomers more opportunities to contact potential victims, it has also allowed for groomers to form networks with other like-minded individuals. These networks allow for groomers to widely share grooming techniques and indecent images known as child sexual abuse material. The latest findings from the Internet Watch Foundation found that every 3 minutes they accessed a web page showing a child being sexually abused. Given how prevalent online grooming is, parents, carers, and those working with young people should be aware of the ways in which groomers operate online. Groomers in both contact and non-contact contexts can use a variety of tactics to build trust. Often, offenders are able to quickly recognise the vulnerabilities of their targets and exploit these vulnerabilities or insecurities for their own gain. For some children, this may be through flattery and affirmation, telling the young person what they want to hear and validating them in some way, providing significant attention and pushing the sentiment that only they can truly understand them. They may even send them gifts to gain more respect and influence. This is an especially common method used by online groomers, as young people often share a great deal of personal content online in the form of photos or videos through their social media profiles. Groomers are able to view and then comment on this content, often saying something flattering as a way of striking up a conversation. For example, they could view a TikTok video of the child dancing and comment how good their dancing is, asking to know where they learned to dance, and perhaps asking to see more examples of their dancing. The child is likely to respond to this praise by replying, and with that, a connection has been made. For others, their grooming methods can be by offering personal advice that their victims may be hesitant to seek elsewhere. This is especially common for victims from the LGBTQ or non-binary communities, where often they're exploring their own sexuality and seeking advice online before confiding in friends and family in the offline world. For example, a groomer may present as being gay, offering empathy and advice to the young person who may only just be coming to terms with their own sexuality. By pretending to understand what they're going through and maybe even sharing their own stories and experiences, they're exploiting that young person's vulnerability as a means to form a unique relationship. The young person is likely to find relief in finding someone who gets them. And once again, a connection has been made. As online relationships begin to form and build, groomers may also try to get their victims to isolate from their close relationships offline, making them more dependent on the attention they receive from their online offender. This provides the groomer with further control over them. This relationship and control can then allow for the introduction of secrets or promises. They may even persuade the young person to engage in sexualized games or share pornography to normalize sexual behavior as a way of further developing their online relationship and isolating their offline ones. For example, continuing with the example used earlier of the young person struggling with their sexuality, an offender could assure the victim that they won't tell anyone else that their secret is safe with them. They may even share a nude image of themselves first, or of the alias they're pretending to be, making them appear committed to the relationship and heightening the sense of trust that has been built. This, in turn, could then be used to persuade the victim to share an intimate image of themselves. This can be a very confusing and overwhelming stage of the grooming process for the child involved, as they may feel guilty or ashamed of themselves and fearful of their families and friends finding out. Once an offender has hooked their victim and coerced them into sharing images or videos of themselves, they will often use this as blackmail and leverage for more images and potentially more extreme acts. Whilst the content of today's podcast doesn't make for easy listening, it might be useful to share with you a case study of online grooming to help you better understand how the offender was able to form a relationship and use this to coerce their victim into sharing images of themselves. Matthew Folder was an offender convicted in 2018 for 137 offences against 46 different male and females, many of whom were teenagers. Folder did not meet any of his victims. His crimes were committed solely online and through the dark web. He would pose online as different identities through a number of different accounts to connect with younger users. He would build a relationship with these users and establish a false sense of trust before duping them into sending nude photos of themselves. Folder would then use these images as blackmail and threaten his victims to get them to send further degrading images of themselves or to commit crimes against a third person. He would coerce his victims into complying by threatening to send the nude images or other private information to the user's parents or friends. Folder also used these images to gain status and more media content from other sex offenders online. This case is a prime example of non-contact grooming, where the perpetrator sought out and found satisfaction in exclusively abusing his victims online. So, knowing what we now know about grooming and the different methods offenders can use, how can we spot the different signs and symptoms of grooming in young people and support them? I'm going to pass on to my colleague Ang Harrod to talk this through with you.
Thank you, Helen. Hi, everyone. I'm Ang Harrod and I'm the engagement manager at Presidio. Part of my role is conducting insight work with young people. I'm going to talk you through some of the signs and symptoms of grooming in young people. It can be difficult to establish if a child is being groomed. For older children, much of their behaviour could be attributed to normal adolescent or teenage behaviour, which may conceal some of their underlying problems. Younger children are more likely to be scared by the situation and made to believe that they have done something wrong. It is important to remember that a child will not always know that they have been groomed, and they are likely to be confused and worried about the situation. This can have an impact on their relationship with trusted adults, who they may otherwise confide in or turn to for advice. Parents, carers, and those who work with children should learn to recognize the signs that a child is being groomed. These signs can include, but are not limited to, being especially secretive or isolating from their usual friends, spending more or less time on their devices than they normally would, developing a relationship with an older partner, having money or new possessions that they are reluctant to explain, an increased interest in underage drinking or using drugs, emotional changes such as distress, sadness, or withdrawal, displaying or engaging in sexualized behavior that is not appropriate at their age or stage of development, spending more time away from home than is typically expected. Groomers might also leave flirtatious or sexual comments on young people's social media profiles or the posts that they share. If you have any concerns that your child or a child in your care may be in a grooming relationship, it is important to intervene at the earliest possible opportunity. The child involved may be very reluctant to share and engage with you in the beginning. regarding the relationship with the offender. And this is very typical of victims of grooming. However, reporting your concerns to CEOP, the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Command of the National Crime Agency, is a good first step. Their team of child protection advisors will be able to support you through the process. We've talked a lot about the types of grooming and how to spot signs of grooming relationships, but how can we protect children from being groomed? There is no singular way to protect young people from grooming risks online. Instead, providing young people with good quality education on healthy relationships and digital safety will help them to recognize grooming relationships and provide them with the right tools to deal with it. Talking is one of the most powerful tools that we can recommend to all parents, carers, and those who work with young people. Take an active interest in your child or the child in your care's online life. Talk to them about what they like to do online, what they enjoy about the different platforms or games that they play. But also talk to them about the things that they don't like. Talk to them about how they interact with others online and how they protect themselves from those who behave inappropriately. Talk to them about how they feel when they've been contacted by someone that they don't know, and explain to them about the risks of speaking with strangers. By taking an active interest, the child in your care is much more likely to want to talk to you when things go wrong or when things happen that make them feel uncomfortable. It is also important to talk to young people about their online and their offline relationships, and to teach them the values of healthy relationships. By this, we mean giving young people opportunities to identify positive attributes in relationships, such as good communication, respect, trust, honesty, and equality. By teaching children about these attributes, they can then apply them to their own relationships, both offline and online, and question those where these attributes are not present. In turn, this will allow them to recognize when something doesn't feel right within a relationship. Once children and young people have the tools to identify an unhealthy relationship, they may feel more empowered to end that relationship and say no to further encounters. Speak to them about the importance of consent in any relationship, and stress that this does not only apply to sexual consent. Remind them that their bodies is theirs, and no other person, known or unknown, has the right to say or do things that make them feel uncomfortable. For some young people, the shame and embarrassment of what they have been through mean it is too difficult to talk to a trusted adult. All parents, carers, and professionals who work with young people should be aware of the support available for victims of grooming. Charities such as Childline have designated support lines for children who can be called at any time of the day. The younger generation are growing up in a digital age where most aspects of their lives contain a digital element. As more grooming occurs online now than ever before, it is vital that young people today receive a robust digital safety education in order to build up digital resilience. Children and young people who've been taught about contact risks will be able to spot some of the signs much sooner than those who have not. As a result, they will be more likely to know how to react to grooming attempts and are less vulnerable to predators' initial attempts to make contact. It is critical that digital safety education should also ensure that young people are taught how to report online sexual abuse or concerns that they may have when someone has been communicating with them online. Young people should be aware that they can report their concerns to the police or to CEOP, who have a team of child protection advisors. While schools have a duty to provide online safety education for its pupils, it is also important that parents, carers, and those who work with young people have frequent, up-to-date knowledge on digital safety themselves. By doing so, they will be better equipped to spot the signs and support young people who have been affected by grooming. Hopefully today's podcast has provided you with lots of useful information on grooming. For more information, you can go to Keeping Safe section of Hub, where you will be able to find a section on online grooming.
A huge thank you to Helen, Liz and Angharad from Presidio Safeguarding for your guidance in this podcast. Certainly a lot of things there that I've never even considered when I think about the issue of online grooming. So thank you very much for that. So if you are interested in learning more about online grooming, you need to go onto the Hub website and go onto the Keeping Safe Online section, where you'll find plenty of resources to support you. So there's resources there to support you as teachers, to support parents, and to support learners as well. So plenty of stuff there for you to develop this and build this into your teaching and learning in school. So thank you very much for listening. I'm hoping that you enjoyed this podcast, the special episode. A huge thank you once again to Presidio Safeguarding for all the guidance. And hit that follow button, and we'll see you all soon with a new episode. Thank you very much. Take care.